Lord Jesus Christ, I worship you. I think about you. I meditate on you, Lord, because I need you. Without you, everything would fade away, Lord. Our world would fade away. My world would fade away. I pray that anyone listening, Jesus Christ, would know that you are their true food. You are their true drink. You are their true nourishment, Lord. You are the real life. The good life for anyone listening, and whether they feel like they want to be connected to you or not, whether they know you, whether they're not Christians or they're professing Christians, Lord, just pour out your spirit on them, Lord, that they must follow you, that you will lead them to the abundant life. You will carry them, Lord. So we just praise you and thank you, and we lift you up. Because you are indeed good. In your name, amen. Hello, this is Michael Ryan. Welcome to Knowing Jesus. You can find me in two places. iTunes search query, type in Michael Ryan's Booze. Or you can go to letsworshipjesus.com and you can find Knowing Jesus Ministries on that website. On the left side, says Jesus Podcast. And you also find some good things in there. Just on Jesus and certain issues of the heart. So let's jump right into 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I like 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because from the way I look at it, and this is just a brief podcast, we don't have so much time to go into depth, but he kind of talks about how we as believers should be towards others. And then how we as believers should operate in our own devotional life towards Jesus. And I just believe that it may be beneficial for anyone here. So I pray that you would be blessed by this and that the Lord would be speaking through my lips. So let's start. Let me just be clear. I'm going to be talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12. And going down, and the first part of that is going to be talking about how we treat others, and then the second part of that will talk about us and how we are to conduct ourselves. So not the whole chapter 5, just verses 12 to 24. All right, let's jump right in. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. That's, to me, a very important thing that I believe Jesus wants us to see. Very easy, especially nowadays where church is pretty much almost like a product. You know, you go to one church, you like it, you don't like it, you leave. It's so consumer based. You know what I'm saying? We go and we sit down at a service, and if the pastor doesn't sound as sweet as another pastor, or the choir doesn't sound as nice as another choir, we just pick up and go to another church. Or if we see something that we don't like, we just head to another direction. And I just believe that Jesus wants you to know that appreciate those who labor over you. Now, it's easy to sit in a church and be critical about the pastor that you have. It's easy to be critical about the leadership and things that you like to see that you don't see. And friends, I speak to you as somebody as flesh, just like anyone else. And I've fallen into this trap. But friends, I believe that Jesus wants you and I to know that we should appreciate the work that our leaders put in to providing Jesus Christ, to presenting him to us. You know, maybe they don't do it in a way that is always according to your preference, but they're working for you. When you're sleeping or relaxing or at leisure time, or when you're resting, they're laboring. They're laboring for you. They're putting their energy and presenting you the true food and the true drink of Jesus Christ. They are working to that end. And I would encourage you, please don't be critical of those who are over you trying to lead you and grow you in the Lord Jesus. But appreciate their work. Appreciate their instruction. And it continues on in verse 13. Live in peace with one another. Live in peace with one another. And verse 14, we urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Beautiful, beautiful way to live. I mean, Jesus really has the recipe to life. It's Him. He's the recipe to life. And He will cause you to do these things, friends. He'll cause you to do these things. You just pray and ask the Lord. You'll even see it later on in this chapter. That it's the Lord who will do that. And if you just worship Him and seek Him and ask to be filled by His presence, He'll cause you to have these desires and He'll carry it out in you. To live at peace with one another. Please, esteem peace with one another. More important than your own needs and your own desires. You know, I'm not trying to talk about putting yourself in jeopardy or in safe or in harm's way or making or putting yourself in a situation that's going to cause you damage. But I'm saying be at peace with one another. Be at peace with your spouse. Be at peace with your boss. Be at peace with your coworker, your classmates. Be at peace with your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Be at peace with your children. Be at peace. Be at peace with one another. And friends, you can't be at peace unless you are abiding in the Prince of Peace. And that's Jesus Christ. It all comes back down to Him. It always will. Jesus Christ, first, second, third, He's everything. And He'll cause you to do all these things. You won't even know that you're doing them because it's Him in you doing it. It's Him in you. So just keep your eyes alert that this is the kind of life that we want Jesus to produce. And He'll do it in you, friends. He'll do it in you. Just study the Lord. Blessed is the person who's daily meditates in Jesus Christ, who's just seeking Him all throughout the day. I'm telling you, you'll be blessed, and He'll accomplish this in you. Admonish the unruly. You know, it's okay in love. See, the context of admonishing is that it's in a way that's loving and at peace. But say, hey, listen, the way you're living, it's not right. You're gonna crash. You shouldn't live this way. Admonish other people who are unruly in love, in Christ, and then present to them Jesus Christ. I believe that every one of these things that the Lord is asking through Paul to do, we should be doing it with Jesus Christ as the foundation. Admonish the unruly in Jesus Christ. Encourage the faint-hearted in Jesus Christ. Help the weak in Jesus Christ. Be patient with everyone in Jesus Christ. This is our fruit that comes from the Lord. Encourage the faint-hearted. People who are just feeling down, encourage them. Don't judge them. Encourage them. Present Jesus to them. Help the weak. If you see people who need help, go and assist them. Be a neighbor. Always be in that state of a neighbor, as Jesus talked about in His parable. You want to be a neighbor, right? That all comes from His love. Be patient with some people? No. Everyone. This is hard. Friends, you won't accomplish this if you're trying to do it in your own strength. But your sweet Jesus will do it for you. He'll do it for you if you just give Him the time of day. If you would eat of Him. If you would eat of Him. You understand what I'm saying? You can't think your way into a healthy body. You can't think your way into a nutritious body. Don't you have to eat the right foods? Don't you have to eat the foods that will give you the nutritional benefits? It's the same with Jesus. You can't think your way. You can't try your way into a healthy and nutritious spiritual state. You must eat the right food. And Jesus is all the food you need. He's the true food. He's the true drink. Eat of Him. Eat of the Lord. What does it mean to eat? Believe in Him. Meditate on Him. Seek Him. Pursue Him. Worship Him. Pray to Him. Thank Him. Praise Him. Be fighting to see the Lord Jesus Christ in Him only. Don't fight to do these things. Don't fight to be patient with other people. Fight to see the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross. And you will be patient with people. You will. It says, see that no one repays one another evil for evil, but always seek after that which is good for one another and for all people. Again, the fruit of the Spirit. Not repaying evil for evil. That's something that's, I mean, it's an automatic thing of our flesh to repay evil from evil. It's automatic. Friends, I don't want you to be deceived. I'm here presenting Jesus Christ to you. If I was to not be in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I, in my flesh, I could want to repay evil for evil because I'm a human being. Yes, I'm saved and I have the blood of Jesus Christ covering me. But if I'm not walking in it, friends, do you understand? I still have to fight to see him. When Jesus led his people out of Egypt and he led them to the promised land, they didn't just get there and relax. They had to fight. You see what I'm saying, friends? Just because you're saved and you come to know Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean you're special and you're perfect and all of a sudden you don't have to fight anymore to see the Lord because he lives in you. No. Yes, you are a special people. Yes, you are perfected in Jesus Christ. But you must now fight to see the Lord so that he can bear the fruit in you. You've got to. And he'll produce that desire to say, you know what? Evil happened, but I don't want to repay with evil. I don't want other people to repay with evil. I'm going to encourage other people to turn the other cheek and to walk away. In Jesus Christ, it's just not saying, oh, don't repay evil for evil because of the law. It's remembering the cross that Jesus Christ didn't repay evil for evil. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And he wasn't just talking about the people who were mocking him, who scourged him. He was talking about you. He was talking about you and me. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. When we blow off our steam, or we vent and we get angry, and we say things we shouldn't say, we do things we shouldn't do, we worship things we shouldn't worship, Jesus is there, right there on the cross. He's saying, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He didn't repay our evil with evil. He didn't harm us. He loved us. And that's something that we have to remember. Try to just always be bringing peace and patience and love, pursuing what's good for other people, because Jesus is always pursuing what's good for you. He says in Jeremiah, I have good thoughts towards you. A future of hope. I have good thoughts. A good future. We can't even recount the thoughts that Jesus has towards us. And how many times do we turn on him and we ignore him and we try to make life work apart from him and do the things that we want to do to satisfy our flesh, but yet he still has good thoughts towards you, right? So you must do good towards others. But again, it comes from the Lord. Now, I like this in verse 16, because here's the recipe to accomplish all that, I believe. Here's where all that stuff comes from. Here's how you start to enter into the presence of the Lord. Pray without ceasing. Oh, excuse me, verse 16. We didn't get there yet. Rejoice always, friends. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Pray without ceasing. And everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Friends, I'm telling you right now, if you want to enter into the presence of Jesus Christ, oh, if you believe in the gospel, he comes and lives in you and you're born again. But he's like a tetanus. He just like sits in there dormant, and really you've got to activate him, friends. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Just because you're a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't mean that now you can go the rest of your life and you're just going to be filled with the Spirit. You've got to activate that. You've got to pursue him. You've got to be filled with him. And that requires you doing some things. And I believe right here is a good starting place. Rejoice always. Well, what am I going to rejoice about? My situations aren't great. Rejoice in the cross. David says in the Psalms, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are pardoned. That's you. Your sins were forgiven. The sins of your life. And if that doesn't mean something to you, I really pray that God would let that mean something to you. Don't you understand that it's all going to come down to that? Every human being is going to be judged for their sin. No matter how much money you have, how successful, how good you look, how many degrees you have, the career you have, you're going to be judged for your sin in the last day. And if you don't have the Messiah, you will burn in hell. And I'm being honest. But he forgave every one of those sins, so you can now live in righteousness and peace and love with the Lord in heaven. Rejoice in that. Pray without ceasing. Let prayer be your natural state of existence. Communion with Jesus Christ, praying to him, asking for forgiveness, repenting, begging to be filled up, praising his name, as it says in verse 18, give thanks in everything. This is the recipe to really have Jesus Christ's presence just be there and just fill you up. And this is the will of God. This isn't just a friendly suggestion from Paul. This is Jesus Christ speaking through Paul, and it's God's will for you. This is what God in the heaven, in the sky, in the clouds, this is what he wants. This is what he wants. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of ways to look at this, but quite frankly, right now, how I'm choosing to see it is, if I were you, I would not put yourself in situations that quench the Spirit. For instance, don't play music that quenches your spirit. Don't play music that quenches the Spirit of God. Don't listen to things or look at things or put yourself in places that don't that quench out the Spirit of God, that maybe they drown it out with ugly things or evil things. It makes it hard to be praying and to be giving thanks and to rejoicing in the Spirit, because this stuff from the outside is coming in and it's quenching it. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to be filled with the Spirit. We don't want to quench the Spirit. Do you understand what I'm saying? We want to be inviting the Spirit to be filled up. We want to be listening to things and looking at things and reading and being around people who are going to be ministering to our spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ living in us, and that we can be filled, and so that we can do the same with others, right? We want to be able to be a blessing to other people. And so we want things in our life that are going to be filling us, not taking away. There are things that can be in your life right now that are draining you. People that are draining you. Behaviors that are draining you, that are killing your soul. And if you really want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got to get rid of those things, right? And just allow Jesus Christ to convict you of that. Allow him to speak to you in that. I believe he will. I believe he will. But it's time to get rid of the things that will quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Hey, examine them. Look, but verse 21 says, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. So people are going to come with prophecies. Last Saturday, the end of the world is coming. You know, it's coming today. But we already know from Scripture that Jesus, our Lord and our Master, our Savior, our Messiah, he said no one knows the time or the hour. So we can know right there that prophecy, we don't give it a time of day. Because we already know what our Lord says. That's why it's important to be opening up the Scriptures and seeing Jesus Christ, hearing his words, letting them sink into our hearts and remembering them. Letting Jesus be in our heart and what he's saying in our heart so we can remember them. Hold fast to which is good. And friends, can I tell you what's good? Jesus Christ. He's good. Hold fast to him. Abstain from every form of evil. You know, if you're like, I don't know if this thing that I'm doing is considered sin. I don't know if it's considered to be bad. I'll say this to you. If it looks like it's bad, just stay away from it. If it has a form of evil, just avoid it. Walk away from it. Because Satan will use that. Your flesh will use that. The world will use that to quench the Spirit. To quench the Spirit. Just stay away from things that appear to be evil. Just move towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Be praying. Be rejoicing. Be thankful in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now check this out. Verse 23, 24. We're going to end here because we're running short of time. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely. And may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you, and he also will bring it to pass. Every single thing that I just listed, you don't do. He does it in you. He sanctifies you a little bit, partly, entirely, entirely. Open up yourself to be sanctified by Jesus Christ. Friends, I'm telling you, the best thing you can do is to be seeking the presence of Jesus Christ so he can accomplish in you all the good things that we just talked about. Honestly. And when he's in you and when you experience his presence, you're not going to want to be around people or things or activities that are going to quench the spirit. You're going to want to be peaceful. You're going to not want to return evil for evil. You're going to want to be patient. Why? Because all these things invite the presence of Jesus Christ and the other things don't. And you don't want to do the opposite of that. You don't want to return evil for evil. You don't want to be impatient with other people. You don't want to be negative and allowing destruction to come out of your mouth instead of peace and patience, because it's